The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. They do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, pride, folly. All these things, evil things, come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. And for those of you who don't know Sammy yet, I think that Sammy is here. Yes, he is. Hi, Sammy. Good to have you here. Sammy has nonverbal autism and will just make noises at different times to express himself and to bring under control kind of overstimulation that happens for some people with autism. Today, we hear from the edgy, subversive Jesus, who's very critical of the religious Pharisees and scribes, who represent the religious of all religions, including Christianity. But even though he's subversive and edgy, let's stick with him, because in the end, there's always grace. This week, Jesus brings down people who are self-righteous, puffed up. Next week, Jesus raises up people who are outsiders, broken. The author of this gospel, Mark, sets up the Pharisees and scribes as kind of the bad guys, the foils. So it's easy to forget that they really were seen as the most moral and religious people of the day. They did everything that James said they should do. They were very ethical, treated their neighbors, they ate correctly. They observed particularly all of the food preparation and dining rules meticulously. In the words of Jesus' day, they were clean. And in today's reading, Jesus sweeps away all of these rules with one sentence. "It's not what's outside of you that corrupts you. It's what comes from within. It's not how religious you appear from the outside, whether it's eating and dining and preparation of food rules or treatment of the neighbor rules, like James has it. It's what's in your heart that matters. That is, you can quote from the Bible knowing it inside and out. You can be so ethical that everybody says, he's always looking out for the underdog. He's a good person. You can go to seminary and become a pastor. These things might make you appear to be religious, but they don't make you any more special in God's eyes or closer to God. What God cares about first, not only, but first, is what's in your heart." Today, we hear about the Pharisees who think that following rules, particularly food rules, pleases God. Next week, though, we hear the result of such rules. We hear about the people who get broken by those rules, who are outsiders. See, there's a way to get caught up in the rules so that the purpose of the rules is forgotten. When we forget that the neighbor is the heart of the commandments and make the rules or principles the end in it themselves, no matter if they are conservative or progressive interpretations, we end up becoming self-righteous. The rules get relied on to reveal who's clean and who's not, and the unclean neighbor is either kicked to the curb, made insignificant, vilified, the opposite intent of the commandments. So what do? Do we throw all of the rules away? Is the new rule that there are no rules? You see, no rules is really just another rule. Interestingly, two of today's reading, the epistle reading and the gospel reading. Oh, hi, Sammy. Sammy does what is called eloping, which means that he runs, for those of you who are in education, to kind of get rid of some of the stimuli, which really embarrasses his mother. But please tell her not to worry. Sammy's part of our community, and he is who he is, just as we all are who we all are. You thought you knew what eloping was. There's another kind of eloping. So the two of today's readings are counterpoints to each other. The gospel and then the epistle reading, James. On one hand, the gospel, the reading from Mark, is a criticism of trusting in the rules, of being doers of the word, and trusting one's heart to rules and behaviors. And James, the second reading, criticizes the opposite. Those who are only hearers, those who think that religion is only strictly about making me feel okay, something private and inward, something only done on a Sunday. Christianity, actually God, criticizes both, because with both, one is relying on the self and not God. See, Christianity is not a one-size-fits-all religion. The gospel speaks a different word depending on where your heart is, whether trusting in rules or private religion. Both have the same problem: forgetting the neighbor and trusting in something, not God, but something, for a sense of meaning and identity and purpose in life, either outward behaviors or inward spiritual practices. See, the word around which we gather regularly holds up a mirror to us so that we can see ourselves and what we trust in the moment. Neither James' hearers nor the gospel hearers trust in the living God who created the rules and the neighbor and the self. See, so we're back to what's in your heart that really matters. And in either case, what's in the heart is self-centeredness. This is what the Christian tradition proclaims. The problem with all human hearts, not just Jews in Jesus' day, all human hearts. He came to a particular people. The problem with all human hearts, which is originally pictured in Scripture in the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. See, Christianity is not about getting us to change our behavior. It's about God giving us a new heart, a heart that naturally trusts God and concerns about the neighbor, cares for the neighbor. Because when it comes to the heart, which is what God really does care about, rules don't work. Instead, God offers forgiveness and mercy and love in Christ. Christ, who is the very heart of God, who comes to heal the self-centered at heart by taking our religion and rules and away and giving us a living trust in a forgiving God. Christ comes to uncover our false religions and give us the real thing, which is nothing more than trusting the Creator to be our God, the one we lean on and trust in for a sense of meaning in life. By the cross, Christ proves to us that even though we are self-centered, God loves and forgives us anyways. As we trust this God revealed in Christ, concern for the neighbor naturally flows, and so we desire even to take care of the orphans and the widows, not to be a good person or to look good, or even for the principle of the matter, but because we care about the individual before us. What James calls true religion is merely fruit that naturally ripens on a tree when it's rooted in God's forgiveness and love. And because, I don't know about you, but I know how shallow the roots of faith are in me, how easily I'm knocked down by storms in life or doubt, we come back and gather around the word and the meal and the communal gathering, the saints here, over and over, to be rerooted in God's mercy. So today, whatever you find yourself trusting in, Christ comes to you in the word and through the meal to forgive you and give you a new heart. So, a dose of stark reality and forgiveness. That's what we hear from the subversive and edgy Jesus today, who's always making trouble for the religious, who's always keeping humans honest. Thanks be to God. Amen.